I take the train back to Takamatsu Station. For dinner, I stop inside a cheap cafe near the station and order chicken cutlet and a salad. I have a second helping of rice and a glass of warm milk after the meal. At a corner shop outside, I buy a bottle of mineral water and two rice balls in case I get hungry in the middle of the night, then start for my hotel. I walk not too fast or too slow, at an ordinary pace, just like everybody else, so no one notices me. The hotel is pretty large, a typical second-rate business hotel. I fill in the register at the front desk, giving Kafka, instead of my real first name, a phony address and age, and pay for one night. I'm a little nervous, but none of the clerks seems suspicious. Nobody yells out, "Hey, we can see right through your ruse, you little 15-year-old runaway." Everything goes smooth as silk, business as usual. The lift clanks alarmingly to the fifth floor. The room is minuscule, outfitted with an uninviting bed, a rock-hard pillow, a miniature excuse for a desk, tiny TV, sun-bleached curtains. The bathroom is barely the size of a cupboard, with none of those little complimentary shampoo or conditioner bottles. The view from the window is of the wall of the building next door. I shouldn't complain, though, since I have a roof over my head and hot water coming out of the tap. I plonk my backpack on the floor, sit on the chair, and try to acclimatize myself to the surroundings. I'm free, I think. I shut my eyes and think hard and deep about how free I am, but can't really understand what it means. All I know is I'm totally alone. All alone in an unfamiliar place, like some solitary explorer who's lost his compass and his map. Is that what it means to be free? I don't know, and I give up thinking about it. I take a long, hot bath and carefully brush my teeth in front of the sink. I flop down in bed and read, and when I get tired of that, I watch the news on TV. Compared to everything I've been through today, though, the news seems stale and boring. I switch off the TV and get under the covers. It's 10 p.m., but I can't get to sleep. A new day in a brand new place. And my 15th birthday besides, most of which I'd spent in that charming, offbeat library. I'd met a few new people, Sakura, Oshima, Miss Saiki. Nobody threatening, thank God. A good omen? I think about my home back in Nagata in Tokyo and my father. How did he feel when he discovered that I'd disappeared? Relieved, maybe? Confused? Or maybe nothing at all? I'm betting he hasn't even noticed I'm gone. I suddenly remember my father's mobile phone and take it out of my backpack. I switch it on and dial my home number. It starts ringing 450 miles away, as clearly as if I was calling the room next door. Startled by this, I hang up after two rings. My heart won't stop pounding. The phone still works, which means that my father hasn't cancelled the contract. Maybe he hasn't noticed the phone's missing from his desk. I shove the phone back into the pocket of my backpack, turn off the light, and close my eyes. I don't dream. Come to think of it, I haven't had any dreams in a long time.